Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Justin.
Bang, bang. That was my hand, naked, in a gun form. We're talking about the Naked Gun franchise, IP, today. I try to explain it to you and to Justin, who's never seen any of these.
I don't know anything.
The fourth one's still in theaters, or it should be by the time this podcast comes out. But then again, it might not be, because things go to streaming so quickly nowadays. I hope it's still relevant. But, anyway, on to our medium shot now. Why haven't you seen any of these movies?
Because I've never heard of them.
Okay.
The first time I heard of them was in the movie theater. The new one was coming out, and I was like, what the heck is this? And it looked mildly amusing.
Yeah, so the Naked Gun is, well, before I get into it, I'll say why my history with it, which is actually comparatively short, because I only saw the entire franchise about a month ago. I knew the fourth one was coming out, and I really wanted to see it, and I binge-watched the first three, which, I mean, Netflix finally did something right and had all three on there when the fourth one came out. I'm like, oh, finally, brand synergy. You're finally putting something I want to see on when something relevant is going to come out. Excellent. So I binge-watched Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad, Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear, and Naked Gun 33 1/3, The Final Insult, before I saw the fourth one, just The Naked Gun. And now we are caught up and into our close-up.
There's no colon with the title at all?
Not in the fourth one, no.
It's just...
the first three all have colons. So, to get into a bit of background here right away, because you know nothing about it, The Naked Gun is based on a TV series called Police Squad, which only ran for 6 episodes back in the early 80s and was canceled, allegedly, because it was too clever. Yeah.
How?
Basically, the idea was... the network executives saw people who were watching the show and they're like, American audiences are dumb, and this show has way too many jokes per minute. People can't watch it casually. There's too many things going on, and it's brilliant, but people want more casual, turn-your-brain-off entertainment they can watch passively. So, sorry, Police Squad, you're canned after 6 episodes. Even though a lot of people think it's one of the funniest shows of all time. Just despite having 6 episodes. Its fan base is small, but very passionate.
Did you watch the show first?
I did not watch the show.
What the heck?
I still have not seen the Police Squad show. But I see a lot of people mentioning that they think it contains one of, if not the funniest, bite-sized joke of all time. Which, I'm going to ruin it, but I do find it very funny. It's when... there's a bad guy, and the main character breaks into his office. Who are you, and how did you get in here? I'm the locksmith, and I'm the locksmith. You'll see that one quoted very often.
Oh my god.
And that's the kind of humor that show had. That's what a lot of the kind of humor the movies have as well. It's incredibly deadpan. The people who made that show are the same people who made Airplane, which is my all-time favorite comedy movie. And that's why I wanted to see The Naked Gun so bad. I'm like, the makers of Airplane, that's my favorite comedy movie. I gotta see some of the other works they do. And I'm definitely planning to see other ones, like Top Secret or Hot Shots that they did as well. But that's the Zucker Abrahams Zucker writing team. And so I'm like, okay, well, I got to see the Naked Gun trilogy. And they weren't involved in the fourth one. The fourth one is produced by Seth MacFarlane, for what it's worth. It's different people making it in the spirit of Zucker Abraham Zucker. But yeah, so they took Leslie Nielsen, which, have you seen Airplane?
No.
Okay. Well, we got to rectify that because it's amazing. But basically, the way these guys do comedy is by not being funny. They invented, I don't know if they invented it per se, but they've mastered a brand of satire wherein they present situations entirely straight, that the actors are delivering it in a way that is not funny whatsoever, but it's also hilarious just because of the sight gags and the completely dry deliveries of ridiculous lines that are just so over the top, but the actors are delivering it with such complete conviction that it becomes amazing. Leslie Nielsen in particular on Airplane, this is another oft-quoted fact, is that he was primarily known as a dramatic actor before Airplane, but then his career basically for the last couple decades of his life was, his legacy is as a comedic actor. Because ever since Airplane, he went full on into the comedy ever since then. And he, once again, this guy built his career off of saying, I think to paraphrase something he actually said, saying unfunny things in unfunny ways. And that was the style. His most famous line in Airplane is when he's giving news as the ship's doctor, and this is not Naked Gun, but just like another example of Leslie Nielsen deadpan wit, is when they're saying, okay, well, yada, yada, yada. Surely you can't be serious. I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. It's one of the most quoted lines from Airplane, and that's the kind of deadpan wit Leslie Nielsen was excellent at. And he does the same thing as Frank Drebin in the Police Squad movies. Just every situation is the most ridiculous, but he's delivering it with the seasoned grace of a dramatic actor. He's not playing this ironically whatsoever. He's playing it like it is the most gritty, serious crime drama cop story, and doing the most ridiculous things in the middle of it. Yeah. Like, okay, here's another joke, because I'm just going to be saying a lot of jokes from Naked Gun, probably, because I quite enjoy them and they're still fresh in my mind. But there's one scene at the end of the first one where the bad guy's trying to off Frank Drebin, and they're having this clandestine meeting, and I got a message from the bad guy. Bang, 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 bang. Starts shooting the guns, and Frank Drebin's just kind of standing there as the bullets are going by him. Don't talk when you're shooting the gun. What was that? Like, once again, butchering it, but it's just stuff like that. The bullets are flying around.
Don't get here.
Yeah. What was the message? Yeah. Just stuff like that. Yeah. Deadpan seriousness. And what's great about The Naked Gun is that it is incredibly effective at all the main types of comedy. There's something in there for everybody. If you like witty banter, puns galore, slapstick humor, visual gags, they are all represented in all of these movies in spades, especially 1, 2, and 4. Good luck watching a minute of this movie and not finding something funny in it. Every single minute is loaded with laugh out loud humor, or at the very least, smile and giggle kind of humor. It's very efficient and genius in its stupidity. It's one of those movies where you watch it and you're like, wow, this is so stupid, but it's very funny. But as a writer, you have to think about how this thing is structured, and you're like, it really takes geniuses to write something that sounds this stupid. Like, a dumb person could not write this. It's like, it is really dumb when you're watching it, but there's so much thought and creativity and imaginativeness put into the setup and punchlines of every scene and type of joke that it's just astounding from a technical writing perspective, as well as a dramatic delivery standpoint. And just, I think Leslie Nielsen, going back to him, delivers one of the greatest comedic performances of all time in The Naked Gun, specifically the first one, but just in all of them. Liam Neeson's a solid replacement in number four, who's also kind of doing the same thing as Leslie Nielsen did of his history as a dramatic actor, and now he's going into a spoof. And I quite like the fourth one because the fourth one spoofs Liam Neeson's career as an action star in a way where you know him as this gritty, tough guy persona, and he's still playing exactly that, but just in a movie where the stuff around him is funny, and he's just playing it with no sense of irony. He's just doing this. And you're just supposed to accept that this is the world, and these goofy things are just happening, and this is how the police deal with it. And I also love the running gags in these movies. If you're watching all of them, they all have certain things that they do. Like Frank Drebin, every single time he's parking his car somewhere, he hits somebody or something. Or it just kind of nonchalantly gets up, walks away, whatever. But like, he hits fire hydrants or people or whatever. Like, he can't park his car without hitting something. Or the opening of every movie where it's a police car siren over top of the credits, and the police car light is, it looks like it's just driving down the street, and then the police car is just in random places, like it's a Zamboni on a hockey ice rink, or it's going down a water slide, or it's going in the middle of a donut shop or a change room or whatever. It's just, every single movie has different gags about where the cop car goes during the opening credits. Weird Al Yankovic cameos in every single one of these movies. I think the one in number two is the most subtle because he's not even mentioned by name, or like, it was just like a blink and you'll miss it cameo. I'm like, oh, is that the Weird Al cameo in the second one there? But I'm very glad they got him back for the fourth one, because I'm like, come on, he's still alive, he's still working. Like, I know you can't, like, Leslie Nielsen died years ago, you can't get him, but you can at least get Weird Al. And hopefully Priscilla Presley, because she's in all, she was in the original trilogy as well. Speaking from a writing standpoint, that is something I do respect for The Naked Gun. And it may have even nearly been a bit of a joke, too. Because in a lot of sequels to things, the leading lady tends to get switched out. The main guy is still the main guy, but like, think about something like James Bond. He's got a new love interest every single movie, going to new exotic locations, just getting with different women all the time. And that's how a lot of movies like this go. So I thought it was kind of subversive that Priscilla Presley stays on as the main love interest, supporting character, main female character for the whole original trilogy. And their love story is central in all its ridiculousness, and like, they are a very toxic couple. Every movie they're at each other's throats and fighting each other the whole time, but there's love there, and it's very funny. And just their relationship in all its ups and downs is kind of the bedrock of the original trilogy. And then you have the fourth one, where Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson have amazing chemistry. Which bled over into real life, apparently. And they like Naked Gun at its core, you know, there's love stories at the core of all these movies, which keeps it relatable. But really what these movies are, above all else, is a satire of the police genre, and it's taken me a while to get to a point so big. But if you've ever seen crime films or cop films going all the way back to the 1940s, that kind of gumshoe, depressive detective down on his luck, monologuing in his head about the crimes and whatnot, kind of the thing like I was trying to do with the Clint Sherwood story. Mm-hmm. It's those movies are exactly like that, with dramatic monologues. And I did have one prepared here that was one of my favorite ones, which I said I was going to say a lot of jokes, and I'm going to butcher it. But it was, this is from the second one, when he's reintroduced to his love interest. And he's describing her. He says, "I couldn't believe it was her. It was like a dream. But there she was, just as I remembered her. That delicately beautiful face, and a body that could melt a cheese sandwich from across the room, and breasts that seemed to say, 'Hey, look at these.' She was the kind of woman who made you want to drop to your knees and thank God you were a man. She reminded me of my mother, all right. No doubt about it." And
oh my God.
Once again, it said, you know, it's not said funny. It's just, you just say it straight.
Oh, man.
And there's also a great gag in the fourth one about that, too, where like he's Liam Neeson's thinking of Pamela Anderson that way. And he's watching her walk away. And then, like, it pans over, every single guy in the precinct is having their own inner monologue about her as they're watching her walk away. And, like, so it takes all these tropes that everybody knows and just skewers them. Especially in the very first two, where it's not just... And I think that's where the third one went off the rails, because the third one is a series of specific parodies. And a lot of people seem to agree that the third one is kind of what started ruining the parody movie genre, because it started being like, okay, so instead of just skewering an entire genre, we're going to be skewering specific movies. And that's why the third one is less fun for me, because I haven't seen all the movies that it's making fun of. But the first two were making fun of just general cop or detective movie tropes. That, yeah, I've seen enough of these that I get all the jokes that you're making. Whereas the third one was just, okay, that would have been funnier if I'd seen that movie.
So I'm guessing, since you've talked about like the first and second and the fourth one, they kind of went back to the original formula with the fourth one?
Yeah, I think the problem with the first, I think that's why they got three ended up the way it did, was because the first two were more parodying the vein of, okay, well, we're kind of doing the like 1940s detective monologuing sort of deal and having a lot of tropes, but they kind of ran out of tropes at the end of the second one. So the third one was like, okay, well, if we're not parodying something specific, it's going to start feeling very repetitive. So they were trying something different. But then in the last 30 years, we've had this wave of action movies, the kind Liam Neeson is very famous for starring in, where it's just these grizzled veteran badasses who are like more action heavy, like way cooler than everybody else. Just like the gritty, grizzled veteran sort of heroes. And that's what Liam Neeson's playing more into. It's more tropes of movies from the last 30 years that weren't even really a thing when the Naked Gun first came on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what keeps it fresh, is they're like, okay, now that, and that's why people can watch the new one especially and still think it's funny, because we've all seen movies like that. They're kind of going back to basics of, we're not parodying a specific movie, but we're parodying movies you've all seen, but doing it differently than movies that the first one was making fun of. So the fourth one, I think, managed to reinvigorate it and keep it fresh with modern tropes. And yeah, so that's...
So would you say that the fourth one is like, could it be an entry point to the series?
Definitely, yeah. The only thing that's really... The only thing about the fourth one is that it makes reference to old characters. Like, this was in the trailer, this was... like, one of the big jokes from the trailer is when they're sitting at, like, the altars and, like, this in memoriam wall of all their dead parents. And he's like, oh, well, I hope I make you proud, Dad. And, like, everyone's crying at the altars of their dead fathers and, you know, kind of making fun of how every movie's got to be very, like, is a sequel or a reboot or very strongly indebted to the past. So besides the fact that he kind of cares for his dead father, who you've never seen, it has nothing to do with the old ones, other than the fact that it's a legacy sequel, mm-hmm. and like most of the characters are, well, actually not even most, just a couple, are children of the first trilogy's characters. But yeah, otherwise I think it's a solid entry point. Personally, I don't want to say it's on par with the original, but it is my second favorite one after having seen all four of them pretty close together.
Well, it's got to be a little bit different because it's parodying
different stuff,
different genre, essentially.
Yeah.
So, there's no way to really call it the same, but...
The new one's a lot more action-heavy, for sure. It's trying... very hard to do the joke a minute thing. Like, not all of them land. I think its hit to miss ratio is worse than the original Naked Gun. But when you're throwing that many jokes at the screen, you laugh a lot during that movie. It's very funny, and it is a good experience to go into the movie theater and laugh with other people around you. I feel like the Naked Gun is the very first full-on comedy movie I've ever seen in theaters. I don't think I've ever seen it. Like, I've seen action comedies, I've seen lighthearted stuff, but movies that are marketing themselves as a comedy, I don't believe I've ever seen another one in theaters before this one. So it was actually a unique experience for me as a moviegoer. Because I grew up with comedy and horror being relatively shortchanged because my parents weren't really into those. So I'm only discovering them now. And just in time for the long-delayed sequels and reboots.
Maybe you'll get lots of those.
Yeah, and probably. I would like to see another Naked Gun. With Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson. I think there's more gas in the tank here, and they could do something really cool with it. If they keep going forward. Another aspect of these movies, I think, is pretty funny consistently, is just the idea of police overreach. They're very tongue-in-cheek about the fact that these incompetent police officers have, like, more body counts than some video game characters throughout their careers, and they cause all this public mayhem. But it, like, to the department, they're heroes and held up to a high standard, but the mayor hates them because they're just like, oh, police squad is such, oh, they're full of idiots and they ruin our reputation as a town. And like, yeah, they catch the bad guys, but like, was it worth it along the way? There was another joke I saw to that effect, but I may have closed it down. Basically, there was one where, I'll do it by memory. So Frank Drebin was basically talking to the mayor about how much of an like off-kilter cop he is. And she's like, well, you know, you can't just kill anybody you want. And he's like, I see a bunch of guys in togas in the park stabbing somebody to death. I kill the bastards. That's my policy. And she was like, they were doing Shakespeare in the park. It was a production of Julius Caesar.
Oh, boy.
Which he doesn't really have a response for at that point, but he gets away with it. Like, and this isn't even an incident that happened in the movie. They're just talking about other stuff he's done in the past. And that's what Frank Drebin and Frank Drebin Jr. are like, they're just like killers off, like they off a leash. They make fun of that a lot in the fourth movie too, where he's going to go off on his own and try to arrest these criminals. And the mayor says to Liam Neeson, she's like, if you go against my orders, I'm going to have to take you in. Who's going to arrest me? Other cops. Yes. Oh. Like, he's genuinely shocked, like he could be held to accountable as a cop. For breaking the rules. I think in the new one, they even make jokes about, like, body cams, turning them off and whatnot. Just, they definitely make fun of the cop who plays by his own rules. Sort of deal. I could probably think of some other stuff for a bit later, but any more questions? You said you had a lot of dumb questions, and I have some dumb answers.
Why is it called The Naked Gun?
I do not know. That is something I have not yet figured out.
Oh. Well, now I'm disappointed.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because the guns are laid bare. It's open. It's not sheathed. That could be it.
It's just always got his gun out.
Yeah, it's not in its holster. It's just guns out.
Ready to fire at any time.
Yeah, pretty much. It might be a reference to the recklessness of these incompetent cops. Always guns out, questions later. That's what I'm going with. The holster is the clothes.
So,
what's on your mind?
Is this the kind of movie that has, like, is it like an overarching plot, or is it like a series of, like, crimes that they're solving, or?
Every movie has a different bad guy, and every movie is about the bad guy trying to do a thing overall. So the movies aren't just like a series of sketches. They do have an overarching investigation for each one. And a lot of times, now once again, even the villains are still playing by the deadpan rules. I especially like Ricardo Montalban's turn in the very first one, where it's like, if you're just watching this movie and you have no sense of humor, it's just Ricardo Montalban and Leslie Nielsen in very dramatic roles. Having this cool, this tit-for-tat, evil billionaire guy versus a police sergeant who's trying to bring him down. Yes, there's a lot of goofy ridiculousness in there, a lot of physical gags and slapstick to mix it up, but their performances are very serious the whole time. And that's true of most of the bad guys, but I think Ricardo Montalban's still my favorite one. Actually, the guy in the sequel was pretty good too. But yeah, it's different bad guys every time. Same squad. Which is mostly Leslie Nielsen, Priscilla Presley as Jane, who often ends up working for the bad guys. She's sort of she's the femme fatale character in all of them.
Somehow is always working for bad guys.
Usually ends up that way in the first three. Then there's Nordberg, O.J. Simpson. He's like in the comedy, he's sort of the comic relief character who ends up doing a lot of the slapstick. He takes all the pratfalls and like his character's running joke is that he always ends up getting hurt, basically. Like, he's probably the most competent cop on the force, but always ends up getting hurt in the line of duty. And that's sort of Nordberg's one gag. And then there's Ed. He's Frank's oldest friend and sort of the voice of reason of the squad, who's always there to ground proceedings a little bit. Sort of the straight man of the group. And the squad is mostly about Frank and Jane in the first one, but the squad gets a lot more to do in 2 and 3, Ed and Nordberg specifically. And then there's the fourth one, which is mostly about Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson and Ed's son, who's played by Paul Walter Hauser. And Nordberg is not represented in the fourth one because O.J. Simpson. Yeah. What else you got?
I'm drawing blanks.
Yep. Too bad. It's very sad.
Sorry, I'm no Ryan.
Oh. Ryan didn't always know what to say either.
Ryan always had something to say.
Yeah, he always had something to say, but he didn't always know what to say.
Hey, you can't bully Ryan while he's not here.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, so I don't know if I have a heck of a lot more. The dramatic score, that also sells it.
Oh, it's like a full
it's like a full orchestral dramatic score, like when you're watching a super dramatic police movie or serial. It's like every scene, like, and that's what makes it, is the score isn't goofy at all. Every single scene is underscored with the most overly melodramatic instrumentation possible to really sell the drama of it, which is so heightened it makes it funny. And I love the Naked Gun theme. It's badass. It's cool. I vibe to it. I'm very glad they put it in the fourth one over the credits. They didn't do it at the start, but that's fine. But it's just such a cool theme. Speaking of the credits, this is the kind of movie where the jokes don't even stop till the very end of the credits. The very end of the end credits, I mean. They have text-based jokes going through the entirety of the credits that you actually have to read the credits to look out for, to see what they're making fun of. Just different names or jobs that don't exist or just random jokes. And I'm pretty sure they go through all four movies like that. All four movies have an entire credits list that you actually have to sit through. Yeah. What else? Yeah, the first one especially, I thought, had a really breezy pace. It gets in, gets out. It's exactly as long as it needs to be. It's just a really tight, great script for comedy that's... It doesn't overstay its welcome whatsoever. It's solid. Naked Gun 2, my big problem with was, like, it's still top-notch writing. It's just, it doesn't hit as often as the first one. Like, okay, it's still really good. But the first one had more jokes per minute. So the second one's just a little bit worse. So the first Naked Gun, pretty darn good. The second Naked Gun, still worth a watch. The third one, I think, is put it on in the background just as something. The only scene I really loved was the sequence where he goes to prison as a sting agent, and they're basically making fun of prison movies. I have seen a lot of those, and that's why I said if you've seen the parody movies, it's a lot funnier. I especially love the Ode to the Great Escape, where they have to get the dirt from the tunnel out in their pants and just like throw the dirt around like in a string out of their pockets. But then in this version of it, they end up having so much dirt that it turns into a giant mound because they still can't hide it. I'm like, yes, I've seen The Great Escape. I understand what you're referencing, and that's funny. The other movies did not need specific references. It was just more funny uncontextually.
Mm-hmm.
So the third one's if you put on in the background, and the fourth one I thought was also pretty darn good. But like, it's kind of a weird one because if we're like getting little bullet points on each of my reviews, it's like a lower tier pretty darn good than the original Naked Gun. I like the original one better, but it's not like not enough to get it a whole ranking higher. Like if I were to, I'd say like this one's like 3.75 stars and the original's a 4-star. If I have to like get into nitty gritty, like they're both close, but I like the first one the best. The only thing about the fourth one, it had a weird energy sometimes where the pacing in the fourth one was comparatively slow for how long it actually was sometimes. I'm like, okay, it's funny. There's a lot of jokes here, but just I wish there was a bit more energy to it. Even though it's still deadpan, sometimes that hurt scene by scene. It was just a little too deadpan sometimes. Otherwise, yeah, first one pretty darn good. Second one worth a watch. Third one, put it on in the background. Fourth one, pretty darn good again. So 3 out of 4 ain't bad. As far as reboots go, it's one I'm glad they did. It actually lived up to the original, especially at a time period where we don't get very many comedies anymore. Especially not big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right now, The Naked Gun's biggest competition for comedy movies is Happy Gilmore 2 on a straight-to-streaming Netflix original. Which is doing great on Netflix. I should still see that one, but I was more excited about Naked Gun and just haven't gotten around to Happy Gilmore yet. But I think Naked Gun made a wise choice releasing theatrically. And I hope it brings comedy movies back to the theaters. Good ones, especially. Because they don't make very many comedy movies in this satirical, witty banter, puns-heavy vein anymore. There really is something for everybody in these Naked Gun movies. Like, it's stupid, but it's not frustratingly stupid. It's smart. Mm. It's smart stupid. If that makes some kind of sense. Like I said, you have to have been smart to write these jokes. It's not bottom of the barrel, lowbrow humor. Like, it's lowbrow, but I still admire it. It wasn't just super low hanging fruit.
Hmm.
They're smart. They're smart in their stupidity. So any more questions for me?
No. You did a pretty good job describing it, I think.
Thorough enough? You have an idea what The Naked Gun's all about?
I think so.
And don't be put off. I'm not a movie trailer that spoiled all the best jokes. There are 4 movies worth of great jokes in there. The ones I was saying today are just some of my favorite ones. There are entire lists of best of jokes on Naked Gun. These are very funny movies.
Well, I think you convinced me to try the fourth one, at least, when it's on streaming.
Is your gateway?
Yeah.
I think the first 3 are all on Netflix right now. So you could start with the first.
The way you've described it to me, it sounds like the fourth one would be easier to get into for me.
It's the most relevant for modern audiences. I, as a film fan, have seen a lot of things, so the old Naked Gun is still very funny to me because I know those tropes, where a lot of modern audiences might not as much, despite it being a very funny movie, just if you don't know. But the fourth one, I think most people today of most age groups will get it. You've seen enough movies like the fourth one that you're like, oh, I know what they're making fun of. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think the fourth one is a good gateway, for sure. And where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at jchurchtpm.
And you can find me on Instagram at ThoughtFlame Media. And check out ThoughtFlame.ca for everything else we do. There's hundreds of posts there for free. And you can donate a buck or two there if you're feeling generous and you like our work. We hope to see you on the next close-up with Ryan and Joe and Justin. Till next time.
Take care. can't believe you just shot the camera.
With my naked gun.
That sounds like a really dirty joke.
Yeah.
I think my favorite. Or Gundong Wizard.
Yeah.
I think my favorite really dirty joke in Naked Gun is, it's another very famous one where Priscilla Presley's going up on the ladder. She's like on a bookshelf and she's like going up the ladder and he's watching her go up the ladder. Hey, nice beaver. And then she hands him down. Thanks, I just had it stuffed. Hands down a stuffed beaver.
Oh my god.